I've seen many changes over my years as a zookeeper at Hadley Zoo, and all of them have brought benefits to the animals in our care. For example, the design of animal enclosures at zoos is something that has undergone a radical transformation. When I started out, what was of paramount importance wasn't trying to create an environment which would allow animals to behave as they would in the wild, which is what we try to do today, even if they do still have to be kept behind bars, but it was actually making sure that disease was kept at bay. For example, the floor of the ape house at Hadley Zoo, which was built in the 1960s, is made of concrete instead of natural materials because it's much easier to hose out and bleach down. But we've now tried to make the environment more ape-friendly by adding hammocks and ropes. But all zoos have found that the problem with trying to build a natural environment for some of the larger animals is that when you provide a large area with plenty of shelter and vegetation, visibility becomes an issue to the visitor. Trying to keep both animals comfortable and visitors satisfied at the same time is a major challenge and requires a lot of creativity. At Hadley Zoo, one of our basic tenets is to give the animals what we call choice and control, letting them decide where to move and when. The idea is to encourage the animals to be as active and mobile as possible, but we can't always guarantee results that are visitor-friendly. As a zookeeper, I'm involved in developing programmes for the animals. We want to look after them as best we can, but not to fully domesticate them. They're still wild animals. So, for example, we might make them forage for their food, or work for it in some way, which gives them the sort of stimulation they'd miss if we just handed it over. We went through this phase in the 1980s as a profession that, because some of these animals were so rare, they were displayed to the public in zoos in such a way as to make visitors feel that they were looking at works of art, because they were looking at something like a tiger that's a rare and endangered species. These days, zoos are having to fight harder for the public's attention, and we've learned what they don't want is a lecture on conservation issues. What they want is to experience something more personal and emotional with an individual animal. They don't want to treat it just as a rare spectacle. So the buzzword is no longer conservation, although that remains the mission of all zoos. It's connecting. So it's about relating people directly with nature. The idea of showing visitors more of what the zoo does for animal well-being while also giving them first-hand experience with animals is slowly spreading. So the orangutans can actually play with the public using toys which can simultaneously be controlled by the public outside the enclosure and the animals inside. And we've just opened a new tiger exhibit with trails and corridors that will allow the big cats to roam through visitor space, separated only by a glass wall. At Hadley Zoo, we're at the stage where all our big cats and apes were born in captivity and not taken from the wild, like previous generations. They're still wild animals, but they've grown up in the presence of humans in a controlled environment. From years of observing the apes' interaction with the public, I'd say they display tolerance rather than an attitude of fear. Despite their ancestral roots in equatorial Africa, they understand the benefits of air conditioning and they prefer to stay inside. And who can blame them? In the past, handling the more dangerous animals was only possible if they were immobilised or tranquilised, which, understandably, they didn't like. I remember the tigers used to become super aggressive every time the vets came anywhere near them. The situation is different today because we can train the animals from a young age. One way we do this is to train the animals to press against the mesh of their enclosures to receive injections. The goal is stress reduction, so that the lions and tigers become used to being handled and can be given injections without the need for tranquilizing. When I began work as a keeper in 1987, the elephants were kept in chains in their cages at night. And when the elephant manager made the decision 10 years later to leave them to move around freely in their cages, the fear was that it might make them harder to handle. But in fact, because their feet were in better condition and because they could socialise in a better way, it actually made them easier to handle. Things have improved a lot, and I believe animals in zoos have a great life. In the wild, they're...
Now you will hear part two again.
I've seen many changes over my years as a zookeeper at Hadley Zoo, and all of them have brought benefits to the animals in our care. For example, the design of animal enclosures at zoos is something that has undergone a radical transformation. When I started out, what was of paramount importance wasn't trying to create an environment which would allow animals to behave as they would in the wild, which is what we try to do today, even if they do still have to be kept behind bars, but it was actually making sure that disease was kept at bay. For example, the floor of the ape house at Hadley Zoo, which was built in the 1960s, is made of concrete instead of natural materials because it's much easier to hose out and bleach down. But we've now tried to make the environment more ape-friendly by adding hammocks and ropes. But all zoos have found that the problem with trying to build a natural environment for some of the larger animals is that when you provide a large area with plenty of shelter and vegetation, visibility becomes an issue to the visitor. Trying to keep both animals comfortable and visitors satisfied at the same time is a major challenge and requires a lot of creativity. At Hadley Zoo, one of our basic tenets is to give the animals what we call choice and control, letting them decide where to move and when. The idea is to encourage the animals to be as active and mobile as possible, but we can't always guarantee results that are visitor-friendly. As a zookeeper, I'm involved in developing programmes for the animals. We want to look after them as best we can, but not to fully domesticate them. They're still wild animals. So, for example, we might make them forage for their food, or work for it in some way, which gives them the sort of stimulation they'd miss if we just handed it over. We went through this phase in the 1980s as a profession that, because some of these animals were so rare, they were displayed to the public in zoos in such a way as to make visitors feel that they were looking at works of art, because they were looking at something like a tiger that's a rare and endangered species. These days, zoos are having to fight harder for the public's attention, and we've learned what they don't want is a lecture on conservation issues. What they want is to experience something more personal and emotional with an individual animal. They don't want to treat it just as a rare spectacle. So the buzzword is no longer conservation, although that remains the mission of all zoos. It's connecting. So it's about relating people directly with nature. The idea of showing visitors more of what the zoo does for animal well-being while also giving them first-hand experience with animals is slowly spreading. So the orangutans can actually play with the public using toys which can simultaneously be controlled by the public outside the enclosure and the animals inside. And we've just opened a new tiger exhibit with trails and corridors that will allow the big cats to roam through visitor space, separated only by a glass wall. At Hadley Zoo, we're at the stage where all our big cats and apes were born in captivity and not taken from the wild, like previous generations. They're still wild animals, but they've grown up in the presence of humans in a controlled environment. From years of observing the apes' interaction with the public, I'd say they display tolerance rather than an attitude of fear. Despite their ancestral roots in equatorial Africa, they understand the benefits of air conditioning and they prefer to stay inside, and who can blame them? In the past, handling the more dangerous animals was only possible if they were immobilised or tranquilised, which, understandably, they didn't like. I remember the tigers used to become super aggressive every time the vets came anywhere near them. The situation is different today because we can train the animals from a young age. One way we do this is to train the animals to press against the mesh of their enclosures to receive injections. The goal is stress reduction, so that the lions and tigers become used to being handled and can be given injections without the need for tranquilizing. When I began work as a keeper in 1987, the elephants were kept in chains in their cages at night. And when the elephant manager made the decision 10 years later to leave them to move around freely in their cages, the fear was that it might make them harder to handle. But in fact, because their feet were in better condition and because they could socialise in a better way, it actually made them easier to handle. Things have improved a lot, and I believe animals in zoos have a great life. In the wild, they're...
That is the end of part two. Now turn to part three.